Welcome to the Paint to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of From Pain to Power. And today I have a guest with me, a very special guest and a very dear friend, Kate Codrington. And we're going to be talking about the topic of living cyclically with or without a cycle. We're going to be talking about Kate's book, the creative process, and this whole idea of the seasons, the inner seasons, or whether you follow different types of seasons and how we can begin to live a little bit more cyclically with our body in our lives. And I'd love to read out Kate's bio for anyone who doesn't know her. So Kate is the author of Second Spring, The Self-Care Guide to Menopause. It was published by HarperCollins this year, 2022. It's the first book to give a psychological map for menopause. Susie Orbach says it's hopeful, truthful, and wise. Kate mentors people in perimenopause and beyond, in one-to-one online and in Watford in the UK, and she runs groups and yoga nidra sessions based on the seasons. And you can find her on Instagram at Kate_Codrington, and there's a treasure trove of free goodies on her website at www.katecodrington.co.uk, and I'll make sure that I link all her places where you can find Kate in the show notes. So you're very welcome, Kate. How are you doing?
Oh, I am very excited to be diving into this world of cyclical living with you. For people who don't have menstrual cycles, or for people whose menstrual cycle is not their friend.
I love that, Kate. That's a really important point actually to start off from, isn't it? That idea of, you know, there are so many people in the world who struggle with their menstrual cycle, whether they're in, you know, not in perimenopause or menopause, and then even the people who are going through that as well. It can be a very challenging time. And that's what I love about your book, Kate. Your book is such a nourishing, heartful, is that a word?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, resource for people to have on their bedside locker to read, you know, to just to dip in and out of. It is really, really a wise, soulful read, full of inspiration and resources and tips to navigate what can be a very, very difficult time. How has it been since the book has been published? How has your life been? How's work been? How's creativity been?
Well, let's talk about that in seasonal terms to give, because I think that one of the ways that seasons particularly show up for me is creatively. So there has been a very long winter, I think, by which I mean very raw, a real need to let go at the same time as promoting Second Spring and being very public and very out there. And, you know, anybody who's interested in the seasons as they show up within them will recognize this push-pull of how the seasons show up and then what life is asking of us. So it's been a real teacher. It's been a real teacher. Mm. And this creative book cycle for me has been, it's been a three-year process. So that's quite a long cycle. So these seasons last quite a long time. And I think that I'm now coming into a more of a surrender phase with it. Because, you know, for people who have a menstrual cycle, just before your period starts, you might think, oh, I have to let go now. Mm. Think, oh no, I have to let go now. And then maybe the spotting and maybe your period starts is, oh, I have to let go now. No, oh, I really have to let go now. Oh, God. I really have to let go now. I have to let go now. It's been like that since February.
Wow. That is so interesting how you're able to sort of see that in, God, I don't even have language for that, Kate. But yeah, just that feeling of like the that call of the inner winter coming, knocking on the door and then shying away, knocking on the door, shying away, knocking. That's just, and like, how has that shown itself to you?
It's really in my sort of capacity to hold everything. So my life is very busy and complex. I have teens, I have a partner, I have a business, I have a podcast and all, you know, and I'm writing and all sorts of different things. And usually things kind of joggle along fairly well, but I haven't been able to spin all the plates in the way that I could. I think so. Just my energy was just dropping, and my willingness to engage has been dropping as well.
And were you able to go with that?
Yeah, but it's a bit like going bumpity 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 bump. Because even I just want to say it's really hard for even though I live in my cycles and I'm so attentive to it, the outer call of the world is so strong.
100%. I feel that
how
too.
How this is my inner voice here. How are you going to earn your living, Kate? Actually, and no, you have to show up, Kate, for this, that, or the other, because that's, you know. But then I have to let go.
Yeah. Yeah.
An essential part of cyclical knowledge, I find, particularly in winter, but I think also in every other season, is the capacity to be with not knowing and not knowing where you are.
Yes.
So we learn about this cycle, and the spring is followed by summer, and there's autumn and the winter, and it looks so neat and so tidy. But anybody who's paying attention will know that it tends to be messy. And as soon as we think we know what to expect next, it tends to all come undone. So I think that this creative winter has really gifted me this capacity to sit with, well, I don't know. I don't know how to do this. I don't know where my next writing project is going. I'm just letting it form. It's just, I don't know.
That's bloody hard, isn't it? I can relate to that on a small level. I had a session with my supervisor this morning, and I was working on some business development stuff, and after the session was finished, I was just left with this feeling of like, God, this feels really messy and I don't know what to do. And it's not that the session wasn't helpful, because I've been working with this particular supervisor for a long time, and sometimes we do come to a conclusion where I'm left with some mess to work through. And it's not all tied up in a neat bow, you know, as much as I want it to be. And like, just being with the unknown and the messiness and the not knowing, we don't live in a world that encourages us to do that or supports us in that, really.
Yeah. And I would be very suspicious within myself when things look neat and tidy and all tied up with a bow, because that tends to be a superficial situation. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I do agree with that. A non-sustainable situation. And that's interesting because when I was on my walk, I went for a walk this afternoon when I had some time to walk with my feelings, because they were quite strong after my session. And I just said to myself, okay, something's happening. Like, this, whatever the conversation stirred up in me in that session, it's shook me up a little bit, and things are just rejigging, and I'm just going to have to be with this for a while before knowing exactly what it is. And as well, what you're saying reminds me of some clients I have. As you know, I work with people who are cycling, who have a menstrual cycle, predominantly people who struggle with their cycle in some way. And obviously, we're working at the start, we're working with the seasons and cycle tracking and all that. And that's kind of the, you know, the entry into this work. And then there does come a point where, as you say, it's not really the reality, you know, when life gets in the way. And that can be very, when someone has really struggled all their life with life and their body, right, and their cycle, and then they discover menstrual cycle awareness and cycle syncing, and it's this it's a beautiful solution, not solution, but it's a beautiful, it's, it offers a resolve in a way to a lot of the tension. But then when the cycle starts to change, then as they age or life happens or hormones change and things like that, or it can stir up this anxiety, it can really stir up this anxiety. So I'm wondering, yeah, I think about that a lot, Kate. I think about those clients a lot. I experienced that myself. And I remember, so Kate and I trained together in Red School under Alexander Pope and Shani Hugo Wurlitzer. And I remember Shani and Alexander speaking a lot to this piece around that power of encounter and learning to meet what presents itself through us in life and through our systems. And I think that is the messiness, isn't it?
And when we meet that messiness, and this was something that I came across the other day, because perhaps like you, I'm not sure, but for me, I'm a bit of a Trojan personal growth person. You know, I'm always like, it has to be unfurling these layers, and we're looking at what happens underneath. And I'm a bit of a try hard, to be honest. And very often that gets in my way, I think. And actually, the more intelligent thing to do is to go, well, maybe I'll have a cup of tea and put on my favorite socks and read a bit of my favorite book, and in your modality, soothe my nervous system and move towards pleasure and move towards comfort and soothing, because the cycle still turns.
Yeah.
Because it still turns. We're still held by all these different cycles. And our arousal gets in the way very often.
When you say arousal, you mean like our cognitive arousal, our
the anxiety, the thinking, the need to push through, the need to get active, the need to sort. Just, I know that you've spoken very eloquently about the desire to fix things and sort things out, and that kind of stuff. And mostly it gets in the way.
And the desire to be really, really good at self-development. Or really good at therapy, or really good at your healing process. I'm putting my hands up here, by the way.
Yeah, well, I've got both hands up. But particularly for professionals, as we, you know, who work in the wellbeing field, that we feel we have to have that kind of sorted.
Yeah.
Red flag.
It's a spiritual practice, isn't it, Kate? It is, for me at least. It feels to me like when we get to that level of getting that, not that I've got it right, but I have met points in my life where I've had to really sit with the messiness and the unknown and the uncertainty and the fear. And then when you do that from a place of embodiment and choosing to stay rooted in your body and, as you say, soothe your nervous system, it's like, for me, it's a journey towards being more human, you know? And I think there's a lot of power in that, even though it doesn't seem like it at the time, and we might not feel like we're quote unquote achieving anything or getting anywhere. But at the end of the day, I think that in itself is a muscle and a skill to learn and to recognize when we're being called towards that.
Yeah. And get back on the bike, get back on the bicycle, you know, get up off the floor and put your socks on, people.
So you love to talk about layers of cycles, and I'm thinking for listeners who are new to this work and who are getting into sort of cycle tracking, and you know, they're thinking maybe there's people listening who don't have a cycle or they have an irregular cycle.
Yeah.
And there'd be various reasons to not have a cycle. So I won't list them out, but there's so many different reasons why. But you might still feel moved and interested in cyclicality and the seasons. What can we offer them in this conversation?
Well, that there are many different cycles operating all at the same time. So the daily cycle is so obvious as to be overlooked. But I will still feel springy in the morning and call in spring protection in the morning. And it's so useful to remember the tenderness there and to not pick up my phone. And that may be overlaid by a creative winter, as it has been for a while. So there'll be another layer there. There'll be a creative winter.
As in the actual seasons of the country you're living in, like that winter or your inner winter?
I was referring to a... like the post-publication. As well. So that
you're in a liminal spacey kind of place.
So there's already two things going on there. Mm-hmm. If you're in a relationship, you might be in full-on romantic high summer connection hot sex mode, and that will be in there. So all of these things will be operating all at the same time, as well as the annual seasons. And I have to say that I'm in second spring, so post-menopause now. And every year, the annual seasons become more and more of a thing for me, have more and more power. So we can change our attention according to what we need and what is stronger.
We can change our attention according to what we need and what is stronger. I love that. Yeah.
So it's all there. And if you do have a menstrual cycle and you do have regular discernible seasons that you're developing and deepening your relationship with, those will be fairly strong. But as perimenopause and menopause comes in, other cycles will become more dominant and more present for you. And post-menopause, that's what you've got to play with.
Yeah. So I'm going to summarize that a little bit for myself as well. So what Kate's speaking to so beautifully is this idea of there being multiple different cycles in the processes we are moving through in life. So if you are a woman in your 30s and you're menstruating regularly, you have a menstrual cycle and that's, you know, the inner seasonal work. But then you might be also at the start of a new relationship in that summer energy that you spoke about. And then it could also be like the winter and the season of the country. And if you're also writing, or if you've just published a book like Kate, then there might be kind of an inner or a winter, like an energetic, like a winter happening creatively. So there's kind of multiple cycles, layers of I'm kind of visualizing a kind of a, not a Venn diagram, but something similar where there's like multiple circles overlapping and then we are in the center. Because they're all relevant and they're all part of us. And then depending on the day, our needs will shift from one sort of cycle process to another, depending on what's happening in our life. Is that kind of what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. And, you know, big things like bereavement and illness and stuff will show up as a strong winter. And everything, you know, when there are serious life issues and health issues, then that takes precedence. You know, that brings a very strong autumn and winter feeling into our lives. When we're a bit out of balance, out of whack.
Yeah.
That needs to be cared for first.
It's a really beautiful way to view our lives and to think about life and to understand ourselves. I'm kind of thinking about myself here, like in my own life and how, you know, like you say, if there's a health issue coming up, then that will take, you know, priority. But then that can also come with fear, as in for me, if I have health issues going on, that can then also stir up a lot of fear in me. And so what can happen then is that's when that arousal starts for me. My brain starts to think, oh, what do I need to do? What do I need to change? What do I need to fix? What have I missed? When actually I know now that like a lot of my old, it's all like old fear from my health in the past. And rather what's better for me with that then is to soothe my nervous system so that I can then soothe the fear, still focus on my health, but then like I don't want to constantly have to be pulled back into that health cycle if it's not necessarily relevant, but rather soothe it and then still stay focused, say, on my work cycle or my relationship cycle or my, if I was to be writing a book, then the same thing. You know, it's very easy to get distracted by other things. Wondering if you can relate to that.
Oh gosh, yes, so it's so true. And I think what you're speaking of is agency and humanness, and the acknowledgement that, I mean, in a way it's implicit in the messiness that we are complicated. We are more than just our health. We are more than just our creativity or our work or our relationships. There's something bigger. There's a bigger picture there. And we can call in skills from other seasons in our lives.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. So how would you recommend people tap into their inner seasons if they don't have a cycle? How do you kind of try? I know for you it's probably an energetic sort of feeling. Or are there any kind of tools or things that you use? What would you suggest for people to kind of think about first?
Yeah, well, really simply, check into your energy levels. You know, if you're feeling that you have less energy, you're going to be more towards autumn and winter. And if you're feeling a bit more sprightly, then you can call that more towards spring and summer. Mm. Another way of understanding it is about how you would like to connect with people or not. You know, do you feel you want to get into a juicy conversation? Do you want to, you know, sort of really get curious about someone or go out and you know, that kind of, do you want to be closer or do you need more space? You know, very, very binary, just really simple stuff. And it all comes down to, what do I feel I need right now? What would feed me right now? And you can kind of sense, is it kind of more towards life or more quietly away from life and more inward? You know, this is kind of towards expansion or contraction. Whereabouts is that? And that can just change all the time, and that's fine.
That's it, isn't it? It can still show up messy, because I know I talk to my clients about that as well. And I know you and I've talked about this a lot too, is like we learn our boundaries from coming up against the edges around them. Ouch. And so like, and then the messiness.
Yeah, because otherwise, how would you know where they were?
Sometimes soft edges, sometimes harsh edges, right?
Exactly.
And sometimes there isn't even an edge and you're just kind of falling off and you're like, what happened? I didn't even see the edge.
Yeah. And then that same inquiry comes back. So what is it that would serve me here? For people listening, you will have your own language.
Yeah.
I often use, in Second Spring, it often comes up, how can I be kind to myself here? You know, so for example, if you had fallen off the edge into that void, then that might be a need for edges, for ground. And that can be, you know, that might be feeling your arms or hugging yourself in some way or touching yourself or feeling the feet on the floor. It might be checking into your diary to see how, you know, to look at the structure in your life and see what's holding me here. Or checking in with a friend, could be any number of things, but feeling, coming more towards that ground, that structure and safety and security again.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's, I love what you said about kindness as well. Something that I can fall into this thing of like, when I fall over the edge or don't see the boundary and then I'm kind of gone the other side, I can be a bit hard on myself and a bit like, oh, I should have known better. Like, why did I do that? Why did I schedule that in? Or why didn't I, you know, at the weekend I got sunburnt and I just gave myself an awful time, you know? As in, I was like, I should have known better, I should have put on more sun cream. And then I realized, a friend then said to me, like, you we've got global warming. We don't know what's going on. It's very warm and it's very windy as well in Ireland. We were at the beach. So it's, I love that, to come back to kindness to yourself. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And that, and in a way that sounds so simple that it's easy to dismiss it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. it's such a simple inquiry, and it's easy to think, oh, well, that's too simplistic and I need to do some fancy practice. But this is accessible to us all the time.
Yeah.
We always have an option to bring kindness in some way. And I think in a way that's why we tend to look for more complex solutions.
Because it's too easy. Oh, it's, and we don't easy. Yeah, can it really be that
trust
easy?
It.
I have a fridge magnet that says kind words in a pink heart, and I have to say it's a handy reminder.
Yes. Hey, should we set up a line of nice fridge magnets, Lisa?
Yeah. Oh my god, I would love that. Like, absolutely. Pretty ones as well. It's a real pretty one. It's like a big pink heart. Oh. And yeah, it's just a nice reminder. How can we speak to those people who I mentioned earlier who are rooted in their cycle practice and they have found themselves, they found their home in their cycle tracking and in their inner seasons and their connection to self, but then for whatever reason, as we said, multiple reasons, the cycle doesn't quote unquote obey the rules, and things happen. And then we're faced with either anxiety and the uncertainty. How can we speak to that?
And this is, well, first to normalize it.
Mm. Yeah.
This is the thing that happens to all of us all of the time. And the next thing is really just to drop down into that kind of, that kind place. To find, and it's, that can be hard sometimes, like the sunburn when we're giving us, oh, he should have known, when there's more of a critical voice in there. But call in your best friend and call in, I don't know, if you have a good relationship with your mum or had a good relationship with your mum, to call in that kind of caring mother figure.
On an energy level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or hell, even a physical level, but
yeah,
call her up.
Got you. Yeah.
But to really use whatever internal good mothering we have to ground us.
Mm. Yeah. And it takes, I do think that takes time, doesn't it, Kate? It takes time. If you are someone who's rooted in your cycle tracking practice and then things change, that, and then you're faced with uncertainty, you do kind of go into that voidy place of not knowing even what season you're in and, you know, what's happening. In fairness, you are left with their nervous system is helpful there, because you can, and I do a lot of work with people on the nervous system, and then you're talking about the seasons within the day, and then obviously we have the seasonal seasons and we have the moon cycles too for people who are interested in that. So there are other handrails, if you will, to lean on, and also to trust yourself, isn't it? To trust yourself that you can, you can access that kindness within and that inner mother, or you can connect with someone who can offer that support to you.
Yeah. And I think that leaning into trust, you know, and again, that's sounds so simplistic, leaning into trust in our cyclical nature, because it is just there.
Yeah.
It's there within us.
Yeah.
But, and when we're rattled and things go a bit wonky, we lose that trust. So another way of coming into that is to go and look at the natural world, or to go and connect with the natural world in some way that is pleasing and meaningful for us. Even if it's your houseplant, the houseplant it has its own little cycle. And of course the trees and the earth and just that can just be enough sometimes.
I love that. That's gorgeous. That's so nourishing. And what's coming to my mind as well is I love having a project on the go. That has nothing to do with my, well, you know, like it looks like it has nothing to do with my body. You know, it's not like my own self-care, but it could be some kind of creative project. For me, it's usually a project in my business. And, you know, any kind of creative practice can be anything at all. Or a relationship, as you said earlier, or even the seasons. Like, it's nice to be rooted in the seasons of the year to know, like, oh, summer's coming, planning your holidays, things like that. Oh, winter's coming, what can I do to what can I arrange to look forward to, things like that. It's nice. I do like having processes on the go and different cycles on the go. And I love this analogy, Kate, that you're offering to us of the seasons and living seasonally with different processes in our life, because it helps me, I'm just going to speak for myself, it helps me to accept where I am in any given project, because I can get into this place of, oh, I'm going to start this thing and it's going to be great. And then I can expect for it to like hit, you know, like take off, but it doesn't, because there is a spring phase, you know, or there's a winter phase, that idea phase. And then the spring phase, I'm sure you went through all of this with your book writing process, and you're a very creative person. So you're always going through creative cycles. But it does, it just really allows each season to occupy space and to take the time that is needed for the life with a capital L, the life of the project.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, more the other sort of prompts or inquiries that I often work with, or if it's midday, for example, or if I'm sharing a project with somebody, then the inquiry would be something summary there. What would it be like to expand? What do I need to expand? How could I be more expansive here? And that is a very, very open inquiry, because each little or big cycle is asking for expansion in a different way. And on the other side, how can I would say, come home to myself? How can I care for myself? So there's a more inward thing. What does my inner life need now?
Yeah.
How can I care for that? If you're feeling it's the afternoon, or it's autumn, in the annual autumn, or if you're, I mean, particularly thinking of creative cycles, when you're in the assessment process, you know, you've made your thing or your product or your artwork or your piece of writing or whatever it is, and then you get into the kind of the editing process. What is it that my inner self needs now to help support me through that process?
I love that. That's so helpful, because I know for myself, when I'm in a place of editing, I can get into hypercritical mode. Or if I'm offering, if I'm requesting constructive criticism from a third party, I can be sensitive, you know, that can be difficult to take on, you know? So
yeah,
I love that question. It's like, how can I look after my inner self, my inner world through this process? Yeah.
And that can, you know, that it's the simple inquiries about expansion and contraction. And there's something particularly about acknowledging contraction, because that's typically where we have more difficulty.
Yeah.
We feel the contraction is more failing, or the critic is too much, or we're being destroyed or pulled apart, or we're losing the plot, or we can't do it anymore and nothing will ever happen again and it's a catastrophe. So how can we care for that inner world, for that contraction? What needs to happen? And
No, I was going to say the same for expansion, because I know you, like, we've both journeyed kind of similar stuff, but in a very different context with our work kind of coming out into the world in terms of the media and stuff. The expansion that can happen is also quite scary. And then I know you and I as well, we both needed a lot of inner care during that time.
Yeah, and there's also another way of looking at it, and I'd be really interested to get your take on it. That, and this feels more and more true for me now, that the project itself has its own cycle.
Yeah.
So with Second Spring, with writing, it's kind of like the book had its own big cycle and little cycles within that, kind of almost independent of me.
I get you. And so was your job then to show up to it and then look after yourself?
Yeah. Bing. Bada bing, bada bong. Exactly that.
Yeah. Your job was like to encounter Second Spring's cycles and cycle, big cycle. And then you were dancing with that and then looking after yourself. So exactly. You were in a relationship with it. That's so interesting.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that kind of lets me off the hook.
Mm.
Because the project, whatever it is, will be having its own cycle anyway, whatever we think about that.
Yeah, whatever we try and force it to be, right?
Whatever we try and shape, we try and squish it into, it's still going to be having its own cycle. So it's a bit like exactly as you say, being in a relationship with it. So being in a relationship with a person, they're going to have their own cycle and being in their own place. And then we show up with that, with our own stuff. It's like, oh, okay, this could be interesting.
Yeah, and there's like a table between you. You're having tea, and you're just like, you know, like you're both exchanging things. And when I'm talking about relationships, I always talk about the middle space being like an entity in and of itself, you know. And we put things there on the table, and we take things off the table. So it's this. It is. It's a dance, really. So it's the same thing with your book writing process. I love that. Yeah. And did that ask you to really listen to that energy of the book and what it was wanting of you?
Show up in the best way that I could, best way that I can.
Yeah, and like you said, like sometimes we can't show up feeling fully amazing every day. We still have to, like,
really?
Like you say.
You don't, Lisa?
No.
Oh.
Far from it. I think I spoke about that recently in a podcast episode on commitment, and how sometimes when I'm coming to record my podcast episodes, I'm not in the mood for talking. But it's in the diary. And when I do it, I feel good, you know. So but that is life. It's messy. And you mentioned as well, unresolved, like we have these unresolved needs from seasons, which is part of the messiness.
Well, let's talk a bit about that. I mean, I was. You know, I mean, it shows up very much in my work with, because I work with perimenopause and menopause a lot, and the unmet needs from someone's life spring, so their teen years, will show up, and they kind of get bumped. So if the need for in our life spring, our teenage years, would be to explore, and then be protected as well by our communities. Mm-hmm. So that we get to go out and investigate things and fall on our face and then come back home and be cared for and have a, you know, have our egos be reassured and reestablished. And if that doesn't happen, then that teenage self is still showing up through our summer, our life summer, and also in our 40s, in our life autumn. Girl who either the wild child who didn't get to be wild and is sort of let me free. I can't be this age now because I still have so much living to do, and I still have to, that wildness wants to be expressed, and yet it's not, the world isn't safe for her. You know, that dynamic still gets played out in our autumn, and it's so tender. It's so tender to name it and to bring in that teenage self.
Wow, that's really opened up something in my brain. And it reminds me a bit about like how, you know, with people who struggle with their health around their menstrual cycle. Like the reality, which is if we push through our inner winter and inner spring, very often we can then experience burnout. And then that same need for rest presents itself loudly, very loudly in autumn. Mm. In autumn with PMS type symptoms, or even in inner summer with overwhelm.
And in summer.
Burnout.
And in summer. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow, that's so powerful. So yeah, unresolved needs. So how can we resolve that one?
Put a bow on it. Well, the requirement is that we come into relationship with that teenage self and let her express herself safely in ways that are possible now.
Wow, okay.
But the first step is just to acknowledge it, is to just come into that sort of friendly, oh my God, I remember that girl and I remember that incident and I just so feel for her. Come into sort of tenderness, a quality of tenderness for that unmet need.
Yeah.
And kindness.
Yeah.
And not see it as a, you know, very often, again, in perimenopause, when emotional cycles are showing up and people say, oh, but I thought I'd sorted that out. I thought I'd sorted out that stuff with my mum and here it is again and I've got it wrong. You know, these emotional issues are just coming up again for more layers to be healed.
Mm. Yeah. And it is just so human, isn't it? We are like, you think you've kind of brought something to a resolve in your therapeutic work or whatever way you work in a healing capacity, but then it can just come back for whatever reason. We don't even need to understand it. But that's very interesting.
We don't understand. And there is, in Second Spring, there's also an audio of a menstrual circle, and I know that you you also work with menstrual medicine circles. Mm-hmm. And people can use it to kind of very gently, in a really safe way, go back to tend to those previous seasons, those previous mm-hmm. life seasons, mm-hmm. where they weren't held, perhaps, where they weren't mm-hmm. cared for.
Mm. That's gorgeous, Kate. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. So, any last thoughts before we close today?
Well, for people listening, I guess I would like to say that wherever you're at and whatever season you feel you're in or not in, that's okay. Mm. Most especially when you feel that it's messy and that you shouldn't be in this season, or that the season that you're in shouldn't look the way it does or feel the way it does. That's okay. Really okay.
Mm.
And that, you know, we've kind of gone back to that piece about not knowing. And that's part of a very deep skill set with this cyclical world.
It is a skill set, and we do, it's one day at a time, really, isn't it? And to come back to that kindness that you speak about. Mm. Yeah. I would highly recommend for people to read your book, even if they're not navigating the perimenopause or menopause yet, or if they feel they don't need it, because it really is full of wisdom and resources. And I just know, like, whoever reads it will get something from it. So I encourage you to go and pick up a copy. And yeah, I'm going to link all of Kate's details in the show notes. And if anyone is interested in working with me, you can reach out to me on my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, and I'll pop my own link in the show notes too. And that's it from us. Thank you so much for joining us, Kate. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your time off.
Thank you. It's been an absolute delight.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.